Our epistle lesson this morning is the second chapter of Philippians, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40. After he said this, he went on ahead of them, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It had been 3 years. And for 3 years, the disciples had been witnessing miracles and learning astonishing truths. But after each one, Jesus would look at them and give them the same stern warning: "Don't tell anyone." There was the day that Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus on top of the mountain. And while they were there, they saw him stand in the presence of Moses and Elijah. And suddenly, as they looked at him, his clothes became dazzling white and his face began glowing. And it was obvious that it was a holy moment. And so Peter finally said, "Lord, let me build three altars, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. This is a holy ground." He wanted to build them so for generations, people who came up on that mountain would know that something holy, something wonderful and magnificent had happened there. But Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't do it. No. No altars." And then as they were coming off the mountain, he stopped them and he said, "By the way, guys, don't tell." Don't tell. Do you remember the conversation he had with them? Tell me, who do people say that I am? And they were honest. They said, well, some say you're Moses, and some say you're Elijah, and some say that you're John the Baptizer. And Jesus accepted those answers, and then he said, okay, but who do you say that I am? And for once, Peter's foot was out of his mouth long enough to be able to say, you're the Messiah, God's Son. And what did Jesus say? Don't tell anyone. Now think of how frustrating it must have been. Don't tell. Come on. What was there not to tell? 5,000 people had witnessed him take a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish and bless them and feed them all. And they watched as the disciples gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Don't tell. Were they blind? And then there was that whole thing with Jairus' daughter. Those people knew dead when they saw it. And that little girl was dead. And Jesus performed the miracle and raised her up. And what did he say? Don't tell. Don't tell. Isn't that why the crowds kept growing around him and the demands kept growing? And even the Greeks were starting to come to him wanting to have answers. Don't tell. Come on, Jesus. And then it all changed. Oh, Jesus had told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and while he was there, he was going to be crucified. But the day he arrived on the Mount of Olives, it was more like he was getting ready for a party than a crucifixion. He sent two of the disciples after a colt. Some gospels tell us that it was a colt that had never been ridden, or a donkey. And he said, untie it and bring it to me. And while they were gone, somebody must have told. Because by the time they got back, a crowd had started to grow around Jesus. And then after 3 years of don't tell, Jesus sat down on the colt. Christians, in that moment, he announced to the world that he was the Messiah. Now you have to wonder if the people who were standing around Jesus that day were stricken with silence. I mean, here he was, getting on the colt. Did one of the disciples finally say, wow, look, he's doing it. He's really doing it. Who Who was the first one in that crowd to notice what had happened and to yell out, "Look, there's the Messiah! Hosanna in the highest, the Messiah!" And suddenly, did the whole crowd erupt as they were all yelling and running beside him? God's own son was there. He was the answer to their prayers. Can you imagine being part of that crowd? Can you imagine standing there watching the whole thing unfold before your eyes? And are you there? Are you running next to him? Or are you being pushed and shoved by the crowd as people try to get close enough to him to reach out and to touch him? Are you shouting and yelling? What do you have in your hands? A hat? A branch off the tree? What are you saying? Go for it, brother. We've got your back covered. Stop and look around. Not everyone in that crowd is pleased. As you enter in to the city gate, there are the soldiers. They know too. They know exactly what Jesus is saying. And they know the trouble it can cause. And as they watch you come through those city gates, they are so filled with hate. Are you ready to walk by him? Do you see the religious officials standing there? Oh, they're dressed in their magnificent robes, beautiful colors, trimmed with the long gold fringe that has the tassels attached to it so that the whole world knows when they're coming. They like those long, beautiful robes. They like the attention of the world. And they know. They know what Jesus is saying. And they look at you with a look that tells you, you better not dare go there. The time has come. You have to decide. Will you continue to follow the Messiah? Or are you going to back away just enough to be safe? After all, there's your family to think of. Your career, your entire future. Is it worth jeopardizing it all just to follow him to who knows where? It isn't an easy decision to make, is it? You know, if we insist upon being faithful to his teachings, if we attempt to live by the same principles he did, then it will mean giving up so much that the world values. I mean, we'll actually have to start speaking up for the poor and the marginalized and the abused. We'll have to weigh our wants against the world's needs. We'll no longer be able to wink at unethical behavior. We won't be able to excuse our unwillingness to be involved or to speak up on the behalf of others. We'll have to take responsibility. We'll have to be accountable. We'll have to be spiritual. We'll have to pray and we'll have to serve others. Those will be our guiding factors. And all of this is going to set us apart from a world that doesn't approve or understand of what we're doing. So are we going to back away just enough to be safe? Well, before you decide, remember, Christians, that he's willing to give us so much more than we could ever dream of on our own. How can we put a price on being at peace with ourselves and with others? When was the last time we felt content? I mean, really, truly content with everything we already have, with everything we already are. Are you happy with your possessions, your relationships, and even your own abilities? Or is all of our success robbing us of being able to be a part of something that's so much bigger than we can imagine? When was the last time you were really excited about anything? When was the last time you wanted to tell the world that you were loved by someone special? We know the truth. We know that despite the fact that the world's not always going to go our way, that we serve a God who will never give up on us. A God who loves us, a God who will continue to show us the way. Are we willing to speak up? Are we willing to tell others about that God? Are we willing to follow him into Jerusalem and stand at the foot of a cross, or even in front of a tomb, and continue to tell the world that Easter's coming, and we believe in all of our deepest longings that he will come and save us? Well, Christians, it is my dream that the stones will remain silent so the world can hear us sing. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I wonder, is that Jesus? or is it us? Are we coming in the name of the Lord? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. Amen. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. Why wait that long? You already have the song. You already have the promise. You already have his love. So why wait? Sing now. Sing out so all the world can hear what you're singing. Let them know that they are loved, that Easter is coming, that God is alive, that his promises are true, and that we have chosen. We will be his people. Go in peace and sing on. Amen.